What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down and I talk to you about this recent podcast episode of the week. And today we're discussing my conversation with Apple Crider. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the full podcast yet, make sure you pause this and go back and listen to that one before diving into some of my takeaways here, because I'd love to know if my takeaways are in alignment and kind of match up with your takeaways from the podcast. If they don't, I'd love to know what you took away from my interview with Apple. Feel free to DM me on Instagram at the Jacob Kelly with some of your takeaways from the interview. Now, if you don't have time to listen to that full interview, I know it's over 90 minutes, it's an hour and a half, it's a movie, and really, realistically, that's the length of a movie. If you don't have that kind of time, quick TLDR on who is Apple Crider. Apple is the co-founder of Creators Agency, which is a marketing agency that helps finance creators monetize their YouTube and podcasts and by creating relevant brand partnerships. So they're entirely specialized on the partnership side. And through this business, Apple and its co-founders, they bring in over $100,000 every single month in brand deals for their clients. And so that's originally how I actually got connected with Apple. I actually reached out to him on the work side. I was actually looking to sponsor his account because he also is a creator. He has over almost 200,000 followers on TikTok. I was kind of in that sweet spot of creators we were looking for. So I reached out to Apple and we just got to talking and I liked his energy. I liked what he was about. I liked kind of what he had going on. And I didn't realize even at the time that he repped all these creators. He sent me that at some point, and I asked him if he'd be willing to come on the show, and he was all about it. And yeah, we had a great conversation, peeling the curtain back a little bit. There might be some, if you watch the video, there might be a weird cut here or there. That's because I don't know if it's a weird cut, but I think it's something like near probably like the hour 10, hour 15 mark. It almost sounds like I kind of cut Apple off with my question, which if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know it's not like me. I really like to give each guest kind of space to answer and to answer as long as they want to and go as in depth as they want to. And it kind of sounds like I cut them off. You might be like, whoa, what was that? My fire alarm went off twice during this interview. Nothing happened. The building is fine. I actually think we have to get it replaced. It's what the issue is. We have to get our fire alarm replaced, but it went off twice, just randomly in the interview. It's not in the interview episode, obviously, but like you can see on, and in my video, when I was editing it, like the just starts flashing with the lights of the alarm and I look panicked. And so I had to cut it a little bit because we had a little fire scare in the middle of the interview. But shout out to Apple for sticking through. There's like a 5 minute period where there's nothing going on. Cause like I'm out in my apartment trying to see if anyone else is leaving or what's going on. So yeah, we had to battle through that. That's a little just peeling the curtain back a little bit, you know, it's not always fancy, not always perfect on these interviews, but we made it work, you know, and just even despite that. So actually I don't think it ended up being quite an hour and a half. Because of the fire alarm, but it ended up being close to that total. But it was a good time. You know, I really enjoyed getting the chance to speak with Apple on the podcast. You know, I'll try and keep, like I said, I'm trying to keep these takeaways episodes a little bit shorter. One, because the intent behind these podcasts is to, if you don't have time to listen to the full 90 minute one, it's just a quick and digestible version that you can listen to. And two, from my understanding, like the podcasts are trending shorter and shorter and shorter. And, you know, for me who does 90 minute interviews, that's not always easy. You know, I'd like, if you were asking me to cut my interviews in half, like that'd be interesting. I don't know. I mean, like it could be done, but I enjoy my long form ones. You know, I just recorded another one yesterday. It was an hour and 45 minutes long, which is a pretty fun guest as well. So, you know, I make sure if you haven't subscribed after listening to this Apple podcast, you subscribe now because, you know, we got some heat coming down the pipeline in my social life, but enough about me here. Let's get into some of my takeaways from my conversation with Apple Crider. Now, the first one that I have here is, and we've talked about in the past, is provide value upfront when you're reaching out to somebody. You know, that's what I feel like people often miss that when they reach out, like when you're trying to get something from someone, like that's never going to work. Like where this came up was we were talking about Apple built a business working with finance creators, even back when he was in college, helping them grow their Instagrams, and how he would reach out to them is he would reach out and he would already have some content provided for them that he'd already done free work up front. You know, even if they don't want to work with him, here's some content you can use for your social media, for your Instagram. And if you do want to work with me, I'll work with you for free for the first little while here. Wow. It's just, you're going to get an understanding of me and how I work and this and that. So he's coming up front when he's reaching out to people, he's providing value. You know, and the same thing, like whenever you reach out to someone, find that unique way to set yourself apart by providing value, you know, and that might take a little while by doing a little bit of the homework to understand who that person is. What are some of their pain points that you can specifically solve and make that a part of your pitch when you reach out to them. I think, you know, that's something that I'm trying to figure out, you know, with a podcast, everyone always says, you know, it's podcast is inherently providing value up front because you're giving someone a platform to come and talk, which I understand to an extent, but it's also at the same time, like you're providing value, but you're taking a lot of time. So you're taking away, in my case, 90 minutes of someone's day. That's a long ass time. So, you know, it's trying to find those unique ways I can provide value to justify why someone should come on my podcast. And so it's always looking for those unique insights, those unique ways you can provide value when reaching out to somebody, you know, especially if someone who's just starting your career. That's going to be a huge, huge differentiator for you, is to find those unique ways when you reach out to somebody to provide value up front. And, you know, and I was asking to kind of leading to my next point here, my next takeaway is I was asking Apple, like, how do you then, once you start working for someone for free, how do you convert them to a paying customer? Because, you know, once someone has something for free, I was like, maybe they're not going to be as inclined. I'm saying, you know, they're probably not going to be as inclined to pay you. And Apple said it's actually the opposite, you know, and he wouldn't necessarily agree with that because what he was saying is that people are, it's very, 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 very hard to find people that do good work. And so when you have somebody that does good work, that comes to you, provides value up front in the email, starts working for you for free, is delivering consistent value day in and day out, they're going to try and pay you as soon as possible because they're not going to want you to leave. Because it's so hard to do, to find good people that do good work, when you have one fall into your lap, you're going to want to make sure that they stick around. And I was like, that's an interesting notion that people, you know, that it is hard to find good work. You know, I always, cause like, I never think of it from the customer side. I always think of it from like the person who's offering free work side. It's like, how do you, you know, I always, and I've never looked at it from that perspective before of how hard it is to find people that do good work. So that's the key. That's like, that should be a big unlock for you. If you're listening to this, if you're trying to figure out what to do with your career, if you're just starting your career, like how do I get ahead? Find somebody who you think you can make a difference in their day, in their job, and reach out, provide value up front. Do your research, figure out whatever that is. And when you get in there and you're working for free, work your ass off. You know, I know not a lot of people like to do that free work, but it's upfront work. You know, it's upfront doing it for free for a lot of value on the back end. You know, we talked about this with Bradley Denham a couple weeks ago, where, you know, if just like do that little bit of upfront work to get that value on the back end. Like he does a 30-minute kind of test essentially in his interview process where you have to come in and you have to do 30 minutes of work editing a podcast. And a lot of high level, a lot of these people that are interviewing for this are trying to work with Brad and his agency, which by the way is exploding right now. Very like they're growing and they're growing quickly. They're bringing in high level clients. It's a place you're going to want to, if you edit podcasts, that's a good place for you. And a lot of these people who have the skill set will not do 30 minutes for free. They don't deem it as a good use of their time. Okay, but now if we extrapolate that, like people get so caught in the short mind, like they get caught looking at that 30-minute window of editing a podcast that they're not going to look on the back end of the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars they will make. What if they get that contract with Brad or if they get hired by Brad by recording a podcast? You know, and so I mean, it's a little bit longer term here with Apple's example where he reached out. He already did work up front for free, provided them that value to kind of get that initial to stand out in his initial email. And then he worked for free again, I think it was for 4 to 6 weeks. So a little bit longer than half an hour, but you have to look at it now. If we extrapolate that from Apple, I think that was he was 18, he's 22, 23 now, I think. So we'll just say 4 or 5 years. And you look at the amount, how his, like the trajectory of his career has changed from that point in time, because he did that upfront value, because he worked for free for a month, he is still reaping the benefits to this day. Like, just think about that. Like one of his first YouTube clients or Instagram clients, actually, who was a financial YouTuber, was Ryan Scribner. Ryan Scribner is still one of his business partners to this day. It's also one of his clients. And because Ryan is there, Ryan is now a very big and popular financial creator. It gives validity to what he was doing. It allowed him to meet and network with other creators, to work with other creators. And now he has a business doing, pulling in $100,000 in brand deals a month for his clients. That's all financial creators, which you can really trace back to that first Instagram business where he started doing things for these creators for free. 4 weeks. I know no one likes to do things for free, but he did it for 4 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks, whatever it was. And he is still benefiting from that free work today. Today is October 28th, 2021, is the time I'm recording this podcast. he is still reaping the benefits. And so I just think people don't think long term enough when it comes to doing free work. And free work, again, it can be a great way to get your foot in the door, you know, especially because it's so hard to find free work. And it's once you hire somebody, I know it's tough. Like not everyone's comfortable firing someone right away when they realize they made a mistake hiring someone. So if you can come in and you offer that free work, it can get your foot in the door. And at the end of the day, if that person doesn't want to end up paying you, that's not the kind of person you want to be working for anyway. So you want to work for free somewhere where they are going to see your value and then pay you for that value. To summarize that little ramble there, that free work up front can benefit you for the long time if you're selective and strategic with your free work. Apple was strategic. He wasn't doing free work for the pizza shop around the corner. Apple was doing it for finance creators he believed in who were small at the time, but they grew. And you know, that upfront work, the interest, it's compounded. His efforts have compounded and he's still benefiting from that free work today. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about here for you as a creator, you know, you want to create content. And a big thing that holds up a lot of people is I'm not an expert, so therefore I can't talk about it. But when I asked Apple this, because Apple had a podcast called Young Smart Money, which was teaching people about personal finance, I should say. And by no means was he an expert. He started when he was in college. He was like 18, 19. I don't even know if he'd switched over to his personal finance degree yet. And he started a podcast called Young Smart Money, which was teaching young people about personal finance. And, you know, he's clearly not an expert at that time. I mean, he's probably, if he's not already, he's probably close to being an expert now. But the thing is I don't even know if Apple's an expert, right? I don't know how do you determine if someone is an expert or not? But all I know is when I talk to Apple Crider knows more about personal finance than I do. And therefore, I can learn from Apple because he knows more than I do. Maybe he's not an expert, but he knows more than I do. And that's all you need. If you want to teach someone something online, you don't need to be an expert. You just need to know more than they do. And a lot of people, you know, especially if you spend any considerable amount of time in a subject, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like people often discount what they know as well. So the first thing when it comes to, do you need to be an expert to teach online? Like maybe not like a course, but like if you put out content that's educational, you don't need to be an expert. You just need to know more than the person that's watching that video. And the second thing I'll say too, is we often discount how much we actually know. Like for me, sometimes like when I talk to family or friends who don't necessarily live in the creator economy, you know, I throw out terms or I talk about things that they don't really understand because they're not in this world all day. And because you're in wherever you are, you're in this world all day, I forget sometimes how much I actually know about different things, whether it be marketing or social media or influencers or creator economy, whatever it is. Like when I talk to someone that doesn't play in that world all day, I actually know a lot more than they do. And I forget about that. And that's not me trying to flex or anything. That's just me saying I've spent so much time in this space that obviously I'm going to know more than someone that doesn't. So you can like you should know more than the person that's watching your video. Two, you probably know more than you're giving yourself credit for. So even if you aren't an expert, don't be afraid to try and teach people online. You know more than you think you do. Now, this next takeaway here is specifically for podcasters. And, you know, I've talked about this. I talked about this with different clients in the past when I was doing my agency kind of more full time. When I was doing it full time, I'm definitely not doing it full time now. But when it comes to podcasting, you know, a lot of people think about how do I make money for my podcast? And they think about it from the guest's perspective. You know, like I need to monetize my audience. I need to sell brand deals. I need to launch a product that my audience will buy. But that's only half of the equation when it comes to monetizing your podcast. The other half of that equation is monetizing your guest. And I'm not saying like you come down, you do an ad read for your guest and try and sell them on a product. It's finding ways to work and collaborate with your guests in the future. You know, and Apple said he had his own agency that was more paid ad side. Mine was more so organic management, but he was paid ads. And he would find ways to ask subtle questions that wasn't just straight up like, yo, do you need someone to run your Facebook ads? He would ask different questions on his podcast to kind of learn a little bit more about the person that he's interviewing. And then after, you know, when they're just chatting post podcast, because there's usually a quick chat after each interview, you know, he'd mention that, oh yeah, I have this marketing agency. We do Facebook ads. And the guest would be like, oh, I need Facebook ads. And they'd work with him. So, you know, he's using the podcast as business development. And I think a lot of people forget, like people don't think about that your podcast is a great tool to meet people. And it's a great tool to do biz dev. And that's what I've said. I used to say to a lot of my clients, you know, if you have a podcast, it might be tough to do a sales to just, it's tough to do a cold email and sales is tough. You know, I get them. Now that I started a TrueFan, I've gotten a number of people who've like creeped my LinkedIn and found that I started the job recently. And I've probably gotten more cold emails just randomly than I did in the last year when I was working for myself with Jack Marketing. Like I have in the last 2 months, it's crazy thing. I've been a True Fan for almost 2 months now. But in the last 2 months, I've gotten more cold emails than I've got. I've got more cold emails to my inbox, to my True Fan email than ever did to my Jack Marketing email in the last year. And I think the thing is like, I haven't really said yes to any of them, you know, none. There was one that stood out because they did a custom video. And I know it was custom because she did like a Loom video on our website and this and that. That's the only one I've actually really given any thought to and answered to. Haven't even committed to it by any means. But that's the only one that really caught my eye. It was a little bit personal. Now, had every single one of these companies reached out to me and asked me to come on their podcast and do interview me and talk to me and just build that relationship, there's a likely more highly, I can't necessarily guarantee because like I'm obviously not in control of what our marketing team brings in as tech and things like that, but there's a higher likelihood that I'm going to talk to my team about it. You know, I know this person from this company. We did the podcast. Like the podcast, I would be a much more warmer pitch if I went on their podcast. None of them invited me on their podcast, although I think I'd be a pretty interesting guest, but that's just my opinion. But if they'd reached out, asked me to come on their show first, it's a yes every day of the week. They reach out straight up with try and it comes back to what we talked about at the beginning of this takeaways, provide value up front. Their pitch isn't about, their pitch is just straight up, this is our product thing, we should use your product for this, this, and this. And I feel like there's no value coming to my way, but if they reach out to me, ask me to jump on their podcast, interview me, build that relationship, we build a rapport, and they mention, yo, this is what we do, like, I don't know if you guys are interested in this, like, there's a higher likelihood I'm gonna take that back to the team and mention it to them. I've only mentioned the one, like I said, because she personalized the video and it was actually kind of interesting. But other than that, like I haven't. And so people don't think about that. The podcast is a great way to biz dev. It's a great way to break through that barrier. It's a great way to do a warmer introduction as opposed to just a cold email. There's just so much benefit. There's such a big benefit to podcasting. And obviously from the networking side, but it's also great. You can monetize your guests and not just your audience. I think a lot of people forget about that. So if you're starting something, if you have a business, look for the people who you want to work with, who you want to hire you for what you do and interview them on your show. I think Gary B's talked about this in the past, but like, I'm trying to think of an example here off the cuff. Like obviously the agency one's super easy where it's like, if you have a marketing agency and you see businesses you want to work with, interview their founders or their marketing leads and stuff like that to build that rapport. But whatever it is you do, whatever your business is, identify who your ideal customer is and interview them. And it's just such a great way. Even if nobody listens to your show, why does it matter? Right? Like, the whole point is to make that connection. So if you have like, if you have some super niche business, have a super niche podcast. You might get a couple listeners, but the value is in that interaction with your guest. You know what I mean? Like I've debated just kind of off the cuff starting a second podcast about screenwriting. Cause you know, if you've listened to this podcast in the past, I've talked about how much I like screenwriting and how I've been focusing on that to start a screenwriting podcast. Or I wouldn't edit it. I wouldn't do the research like I do, just more so having conversations with people, but recording it to make my outreach to them a little bit easier. You know what I mean? Like we're reaching out to people, hey, can I pick your brain on pod or can I pick your brain on screenwriting is never going to land as well as, hey, can I interview you on the screenwriting specific podcast? So debating starting a podcast literally just to meet people. There would be no work, it'd be no research, no nothing. I literally design a cover art, probably wouldn't even edit it. I just export, throw it up on Anchor and call it a day. But I'd be doing that to get in front of people. To, you know what I'm saying? So podcast is just such a powerful tool and no one's taking advantage of it. Everybody could have a podcast. I know it's just a lot of people think it's a lot of work, but at the end of the day, it's the amount of work you want to put into it. But man, you can monetize you can monetize your audience, but you can also monetize your guests and you can use your podcast strategically for your business to get in front of people that you wouldn't normally be able to get in front of. Now, let's say you do want brand deals. Okay, you do want to monetize your audience. How do you do that? You know, I asked Apple Crider because Apple has a company that brings in brand deals. Apple also is a creator who brings in brand deals. So, you know, he sees both sides. He sees the brand side. He sees the creator side. You know, I also have some experience, so I can weigh in a little bit here. You know, my job is influencer marketing manager. My job is to identify dope creators that we want to partner with to promote our product. So that's my job. That's my day job. And here's what Apple said that you should do. If you're a creator, maybe a little bit smaller, you're trying to get brand deals, but you've never really got one. You want to. So how do you get brand deals? You take action. So what Apple said, I think this is great advice, is you look around and you see who in my niche, who do I know that creates similar content that has got brand deals? Even if they're bigger than you, they don't have to be the same size, just creators in your space. Who have they worked with? Is that a brand that's of interest to you? Great. Reach out to that brand and ask them. See if they want to work with you. Just do that again. Do a little bit of upfront research. Do some digging around. Who's paying creators in the space? And Apple says make sure it's look for creators that are brands that are paying other creators, because it's so much easier to pitch a brand to pay you for a sponsored post than to pitch a brand to not only pay you for a sponsored post, but just to start investing in influencer marketing in general. If it's a brand that doesn't pay influencers, you're creating a much harder road for yourself, because now you have to convince them that influencer marketing is a viable marketing channel. But if it's someone that's already doing that, you don't have to convince them this is a good idea. You should have to convince them on paying you. And I think that's great, because if we look at it from my side here, from my side working with TrueFan, working with Surf, is that I've answered every single person that's reached out to me, that's asked to work with us. I've responded and I've gone back and forth. We haven't partnered with every single one. You know, there's different reasons for why you don't work with a different creator, but every single creator that has reached out to me has gotten a response. And so even if I say no, and no one's done this yet, but even if we say we pass on a creator, whether it be budgetary, whether it be type of content, this and that, they now have my email. They don't know I've answered to them. I try to be as friendly as humanly possible. You know, they could try and upkeep a relationship with me, and then maybe something evolves down the road. There have been creators as well that have reached out to us that I like their content. I like what they're about. I like that they reach out to us. Yes, let's do it. Because when someone reaches out to me, I know that this is going to be a natural partnership, because you wouldn't reach out to a brand to work with them if you didn't think it was going to be a good sponsorship for your audience. And so I've worked with, I don't know how many I've worked with, but I've worked with at least one. There hasn't been a ton of people that have reached out to me yet. Of course, we're still, the product's not massive yet. We're growing. We've had a handful of people that have reached out. We've worked with at least one of them, I think, if not more than that, that have reached out asking to work with us. And like I said, because they've reached out to us, they've taken the initiative. They've said why they want to work with us. They think this, we're great. The product would be a great fit. And I know if someone's reaching out to us, they're interested. So the partnership's going to be smooth. And so if you are an up and coming creator, do what Apple says, do that research, see who's paid other creators in your space that, well, of course, a brand that you trust that you also want to promote to your audience, and reach out to them. You know, again, it's going to take some back to providing value up front. It's just doing some of that upfront work that not everyone's willing to do. It's to do the research to figure out who's paying creators in the space. Is it brands you want to work with? Then you got to do the digging to find the email and this and that to get in front of that brand. But once you do, like, it's, if you reach out to a brand, I just think there's a higher likelihood they're going to want to work with you. Brands want to make natural partnerships, and it's a natural partnership if it's a creator in the space that wants to work with that brand. Nothing. And the only negative thing, if you shoot your shot, is they're going to say no. And then you're left without a sponsorship. And if you never reach out, you're left without a sponsorship. So nothing really changes there. Only a little bruise to your ego. But if you reach out and they say yes, now you have a sponsorship and you're working with a dope brand. So want brand deals? Take action. And kind of on that note, we'll get to my last little takeaway here. And it's just a question. It's, do you want to be the person who makes things happen, watches things happen, or asks what happened? Seriously. And I don't remember, it's a quote Apple said somewhere else. And I asked him about that at the end of the podcast, just kind of like a little jokes. Like, it's a quote he said in the past, but it's a serious question. Like, what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to make things happen, watch them happen, or ask what happened? And I don't know, but I want to make things happen. So the best way to make things happen is to take action. I think that's a good place to end it. Make things happen, take some action. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Whether you listen the entire way through or you only listen to pieces, I really appreciate it. If you take time to check this out, do me a big favor, go and follow Apple, go and check him out. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find him. Also, make sure my social handle is linked in the show notes down below. I'm at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you enjoyed this takeaways episode, me kind of just ranting and rambling here for the last 20 odd minutes, make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a positive rating and review. You know, it really helps people discover this podcast. Also, another thing you do, send it to a friend. That would mean the world to me if you just sent this episode to one friend, not this episode, my interview with Apple. Make sure you send that to one friend who you think would benefit from the interview. It would mean the world to me if you did that. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, Google Podcasts. It's hard to find it somewhere. It's hard for someone to not be able to check out the show. So if you could just send someone a link, that'd be amazing. I really appreciate that. But other than that, make sure you're subscribed as well. Put a brand new interviews every single Monday, and a brand new takeaways episode like this is an audio exclusive where I sit down and break down the most recent podcast episode of the week every single Thursday. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.